What can happen to a corporation that bribes its way to business? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There is a U.S. law against companies paying bribes overseas, and it's just emerged that authorities in Amsterdam and Washington are getting ready to fine a big Swedish phone company $1.4 billion for paying bribes to Uzbek officials, as it happens. The BBC's business reporter Jonathan Fruin is following this from London. Morning.
Good morning, David.
So tell me more about what's happened here.
A series of governmental and journalistic investigations a few years ago highlighted a number of questionable payments, shall we say, to secure telecom licenses there. It's alleged that the firm paid bribes to access the market, including one of around $300 million to companies thought to be associated with Gulnara Karimova, who's the daughter of the then president Islam Karimov. And this joint multi-year investigation by the US and Dutch authorities has now asked Telia to pay $1.4 billion to settle the claims. The scandal has already cost the company a chief executive and a chairman. They were forced to resign a couple of years ago. And Telia's chairwoman, Marie Ehrling, has acknowledged that the company's entry into Uzbekistan was done in, quote, an unethical and wrongful way. And she says that they are prepared to take full responsibility.
This is not a done deal. This is essentially a suggestion of what the penalty should be.
Yes, and I'm not sure exactly what the process of negotiation is and whether it's a sort of out-of-court settlement kind of arrangement, but it's a high fine. $1.4 billion would be the biggest ever levied under the US Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, the previous record being $800 million in a charge on Siemens back in 2008.
And it's not just Telia, the company that we've been talking about?
No, the Dutch telecoms operator Vimpelcom agreed back in February to pay almost $800 million to resolve US and Dutch investigations into its entry into Uzbekistan. That in itself was previously one of the biggest fines under the US Foreign Corrupt Practices Act.
All right. The BBC's Jonathan Fruin in London. Thank you for this.
You're welcome.
There's no shortage of students in America as school districts buckle down here for this fresh fall term. But a report out today from the nonprofit Learning Policy Institute says public schools were short some 60,000 teachers last year, and this year is likely to be even worse. Marketplace's Rima Crace explains.
At Concord Middle School in North Carolina, language arts students have had a substitute for 3 weeks. Carrie Tolbert is the principal.
It is very frustrating. Like, I've already had a parent email me saying, hey, do you know when we're going to have a reading teacher yet? Nope.
The most difficult positions to fill?
I would definitely say science, math, and special education.
That's true across the country, says Patrick Shields, executive director of Learning Policy Institute. He says over the last few years,
there's been about a 35% drop in teacher preparation enrollment.
Fewer teachers are coming into the profession, but the bigger problem is so many are leaving.
I was tired of being a scapegoat. Teachers are underappreciated. They're underpaid. I was just uncomfortable with the emphasis on test scores.
Those are former teachers, Kathy Stelling, Sophia Ceballos, and Mary Holden. Teachers need more support, says Shields. Also,
appropriate class sizes and making sure they have the correct instructional materials, and then opportunities to grow as professionals.
He says the teacher turnover rate is 8%, and to end the shortage, it needs to be cut in half. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
Today is the 15th day of the 8th lunar month in the Chinese lunar calendar, time for the Moon Festival, also known as the Mid-Autumn Festival. It's a time where the relations come together and celebrate the importance of family, often while enjoying the full moon alongside tea and a delicacy called the moon cake. As Marketplace's Sabri Benishor reports, it is a frantic time of year for the bakers who make the cakes.
If you walk into the Taipan Bakery in Manhattan's Chinatown, there's always a ton of different goodies. The fruit tarts, the custard tarts, almond tarts. But around this time of year, you start to see something special.
So what we're looking at right now is our traditional mooncakes.
This is Christopher Ng, Taipan's general manager.
Mooncakes would represent the wholeness of your family and the wholeness of the moon and, you know, to celebrate the harvest.
They're traditionally round, like the moon. They have a golden brown shell with intricate carved calligraphy. Sometimes there's mythical creatures and Chinese letters telling you the name of the bakery and what's inside.
We have almost 40 different types of mooncakes we produce for the season. This one is a chocolate. This is our new one. This is a sesame seed. The more luxurious flavors would be the lotus seed paste.
Inside each one, you can often find at least one preserved, salty, dense egg yolk, symbolizing again the moon and family. The cakes are cute and delicious and a lot of work and are only made this time of year.
Mooncakes are traditionally almost given as gifts nowadays. And sometimes even a couple of banks come out and, hey, as a show of appreciation to our customers, we want to buy mooncakes.
When fall hits, the bakery goes into mooncake overdrive to meet demand.
Tens of thousands per store. My father said in Hong Kong, one mooncake season for a great bakery, that's 1/4 of their total profits of the year.
For a business, you can imagine it's actually a huge supply chain management challenge.
It does happen that our other products do, I wouldn't say suffer, but there is a break in supply because everyone was so busy making mooncakes.
The last batch gets made on the day of the Moon Festival.
People get very rowdy eventually when we start selling out on the last day, and we just have to stop, unfortunately, because that's it. We have to go back to normal.
Bakers need time to celebrate too, after all.
For me, the holiday is about family and celebrate all the hard work we've done.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
And did a company in India called Wellspun label bedsheets as Egyptian cotton that were not Egyptian cotton? Bloomberg News is reporting two class action lawsuits have been filed in the U.S. over fraudulent labeling here. Target stores recently stopped selling Wellspun sheets and towels over this. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.